We're very fortunate on Money Talks to be able to talk to and call on Terry Glavin when we talk. Well, there's a lot of subjects Terry covers, but I'm going to talk specifically about the Chinese interference and the inquiry there. But you can find him at therealstory.substack.com. I am a subscriber. Many of our fellow Money Talks listeners are, and it's worthwhile. That's why people subscribe to stuff, because the background that I get informed with, and I know these subjects, but not near as well as Terry Glavin does. So I get the background, I get some history, I get the latest stuff. So that's why I'm so pleased that he is kind enough to share his time with us. Terry, thank you for taking this time. I know, hey, there's no shortage of things that are keeping you busy these days.
Well, it's always nice to talk to you, Mike. It's always nice to talk to you. I learned from you, too. I learned from you, by the way.
Oh, well, that's nice to hear. I'll just say that.
Well, I mean, it was only recently I discovered it was buy low, sell high. So,
yeah. There you go. Yeah. Terry, I want to, as I say, we could talk about a lot of areas that you're covering these days and are incredibly important areas, but I want to come to that Chinese inquiry. You've been on that story probably longer than you like to remember. I didn't even have gray hair when you started to write about that stuff.
Yeah.
So it is important, but the inquiry itself for me, it just to see it in one place, if you know what I mean, certain levels of testimony, I just was head shaking. So let me just start with this. What was your takeaway from the inquiry? What do you think I should take away?
Yeah, it was peculiar. It was a very odd experience for me because, covering it, watching the proceedings, reading as many of the submissions and exhibits as I could get my hand on. The commission's archiving is just terrible. There were a lot of people complaining, a lot of the council complaining about that. But the odd thing was it was kind of a paradox in that... In one sense, it wasn't really that much news because much of what we heard, we've been hearing directly from CSIS, from reports of the National Security and Intelligence Committee of Parliamentarians, from the Communication Security Establishment, from memos coming out of the Privy Council Office, from the Intelligence Assessment Secretariat for the last 5-10 years, particularly intensely over the last 3 years. In leaks from CSIS agents, mainly to Sam Cooper, Bob Fife, and Steve Chase. So curiously, a lot of this stuff, when you read the headlines from the hearings, it's like, wait a minute, I saw that headline, like 3 years ago. There was one headline I remember that was almost exactly the same as a headline on a piece that I had written. I think it was 12 years ago.
Wow. But
what's interesting is that the interesting thing is that the CSIS stuff that's coming out, the CSIS documents that are coming out, are confirming everything that has been reported and sort of alleged, and everything that the Prime Minister's office and his cabinet ministers have been denying over the past 3 years, have been confirmed and are being confirmed. And the interesting, that's the first thing. The second thing is from the very beginning, the federal government, the Trudeau particularly, the Prime Minister's office particularly, have been denying, blockading, filibustering, bringing in David Johnston for that absolutely disgraceful whitewash of a report. And all of it was, and also, the mischief that they were making at the House committees that were established that were trying to get to the bottom of the extent of Chinese interference in the election. They didn't want this inquiry to happen, we should remember. They pulled out all the stops to prevent the inquiry from happening. And the strategy now, the strategy was, well, it's just the conservative sour grapes, or it's, they're borrowing from the Trump playbook and trying to undermine confidence in Canadian elections, or it's racist, or Han Dong is an upstanding Canadian citizen. I don't know what people are talking about. To actually quite actively attempting to undermine public confidence in the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, particularly.
That was certainly one of my takeaways. I was shocked at how critical they were to deflect, and that's why I was glad that Mr. Vigneault came back.
To basically say,
"Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?" You know, I mean, they were out like, you know, lie is a strong word, but it's justified when someone says this didn't happen and it did.
Yeah,
you know, when they're saying, "Oh, I didn't really hear this. I didn't read it," and he says, I think it was off the top of my head. I gave it to you 22 times.
Actually 34 times.
Okay. Yeah.
34 different CSIS documents since 2018 have gone into these subjects very, very, very intensely. You know, very specific things that Jeremy Broadhurst, for instance, or Katie Telfer, who was, you know, the campaign manager for the Liberal during the 2021 election, and Katie Telford, his chief of staff, saying, "Oh my goodness, we haven't heard any of this stuff before. It's all news to us." Am I losing my marbles here?
Yeah.
Like, this stuff, CSIS, the director of operations for CSIS, I think it was, gave this testimony verbatim in public committee hearings. David Vigneault, in a number of speeches, submissions to the National Security and Intelligence Committee of Parliamentarians, what a mouthful, that have been published by NSI. It's all there. It's all there. And they're saying, "Oh gosh, you know, he didn't know." And one of the more outrageous things that I think came out of the hearings, it's just like, I can't understand how these people can sleep at night, is Trudeau saying, you know, just, you know, it kind of seems implausible that the Chinese would want the Liberals to be reelected over the Conservatives. Mm. What?
Yeah.
And then who was it? LeBlanc saying, "Yeah, I just don't think CSIS can is smart enough to figure out the political preferences of the Chinese Communist Party." Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You have on the record, the China Times, Xinhua, major figures in the Chinese Communist Party, the ambassador, for God's sake, in Ottawa, saying, you know, how horrible Aaron O'Toole is and how, you know, this anti-China, and, you know, what was it, his predecessor? Was it Li Keqiang? No, it wasn't. What was his name? I forget. But the ambassador before said, well, all our concerns, you know, it's white supremacy.
Yeah.
They wanted a liberal minority government. They wanted Aaron O'Toole's career to be destroyed. They wanted particularly Michael Chong and Kenny Chu and Jenny Kwan, bless her heart, the sole Democrat in this picture. They wanted them gone, and they got rid of them. Mm-hmm. And the Chinese consul in Vancouver said in a conversation that was intercepted by CSIS, he was boasting about it.
Yeah,
we got rid of those guys. And for them to say, gosh, this is news to us and seems implausible, when you had, you know, people have to remember that the Trudeau government got elected to serve the purposes that the United Front Work Department is devoted to and is assigned to carry out. The United Front Work Department is... it's been recently merged with the Overseas Chinese Affairs Office. It is the overseas strong arm, influence peddling, palm greasing infrastructure of the Politburo of the Communist Party of China, Chinese Communist Party. And its budget is bigger than that of the entire Chinese foreign ministry. And they are deeply integrated and embedded in the Mandarin bloc in this country, and it's a very awkward and an indelicate subject to raise, but I'm afraid it's true.
Yeah.
And what do you do? You know, the way I put it is like, what do you do, right? If you're a CSIS agent and it's your brief, you know, you're working with your Five Eyes partners in the US, FBI, CIA, and you're working with MI6 and MI5 and in Britain and with the Australians and the Kiwis. And your job is to keep an eye on the United Front Work Department and its operations in, say, the Greater Toronto Area.
Mm-hmm.
And you find very, very quickly that all of the senior operatives in the United Front Work Department are indistinguishable from the senior fundraising, king-making candidate selection individuals in the Liberal Party of Canada. What do you do? So, you know, I mean, it really is that bad. It's gone that deep. And I don't know. I have a couple of theories about why the penny hasn't quite dropped yet. But that's basically how deep it is.
Well, you know, I mean, I was surprised. I wasn't aware of them having, first of all, nomination meetings where 14-year-olds could vote because they can't drive and they can't do many things. They're not considered an adult. And then we find out, and thanks to you at therealstory.substack.com, you know, you were writing about the fact that the United Front work group was actually threatening the students who were getting bussed in. You know, you better vote this way. You better cooperate. And I don't know what I expected, but that was obviously a revelation to me, but a shocking one.
Yeah, and here's, you know, Han Dong, and both Han Dong and Trudeau have behaved from the very beginning. When I say the very beginning, I mean, I guess it was it February 2023 or was it, anyway, when Sam Cooper's story started to break. Mm-hmm. You know, denying up and down that this had been happening. And then, you know, the more granular detail we started to get on it, Han Dong has changed his story three or four times.
Yeah.
He's lately recruited that, yeah, I was recruiting students from that school. It's the New Oriental College or something mm-hmm. like that, which, by the way, has its own Communist Party unit embedded in the faculty, Chinese Communist Party. And Trudeau had been at dinners at that school. And, you know, here's the funny thing. You don't actually need a CSIS. If you pay really close attention over the years and you develop contacts in the community, mm-hmm. It's not like they didn't know. They knew.
Yeah.
They knew. They knew. Before Sam Cooper's stories came out, they knew before Jeremy Broadhurst was briefed by CSIS that there were all these irregularities at Han Dong's nomination. They knew before Broadhurst advised Trudeau, briefed Trudeau on what CSIS had told him. They knew before the candidate election itself. Months before they knew, anybody paying attention knew. I knew. I talked to Gerald Butts about this. I said, what is the deal? Han yeah. Dong is their guy. He launched, he made his announcement that he was going to run for the Liberal nomination in Don Valley North from the headquarters of the main United Front Work Department structure. In yeah. the Greater Toronto Area, which is the Confederation of Chinese Canadian Organizations, I think it's called. Big shot there is a fellow by the name of Wei Cheng Yi. He's a multi-millionaire. He's a real estate and grocery chain magnate. He was a former member of the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference mm-hmm. in Beijing, only from a couple of years ago. He was the director of Overseas Chinese Affairs Office institution that was run directly from the Ninth Bureau of the United Front Work Department. The guy is like the godfather, right?
Yeah.
And he announced, and one of his branch plants, by the way, remember those Chinese police stations?
Oh, absolutely.
One of them was in one of his branch. It was the same address. He was the landlord. And so he announces his candidacy. From Wei Cheng Yi's headquarters. Michael Chan is standing right behind him. Michael Chan had been, you know, has been watched by CSIS for years. Michael Chan was also, in 2019, the co-chair of our trade minister's election campaign, Mary King. I mean, what do you do, right? You're just a guy. You're a CSIS agent. You're tapping phones. You're writing stuff down. Everybody knew, Michael. Everybody knew. And what does Mike, you know, what does Butt say to me? Oh, I've known Han Dong since he was a kid. He's just a fine. It's like accusing Terry Glavin of being a sleeper cell for the Irish Republican Army. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly. I think a lot of people read this stuff and it's so outlandish. It's so unbelievable that a lot of people think, oh, this can't be true. Conservatives saying outrageous things.
Interesting you're saying that, though, because that's exactly what my impression is, too. This can't be true. Are you kidding me? They've got Chinese police stations in Canada. You know, you're kidding me. They're training the Chinese police in Banff. You know, there was so many of those, though, like just a laundry list of things like that. And you go, come on, they couldn't have really interfered in the election. And yet I remember you writing back in 2017, you know, about the Financial Times story that showed that same United Front work group boasting that six of its candidates had been elected in the GTA in 2003.
I think it was 14 or 20 in the following year. That goes back to 2003.
That's what I mean. But you still go. And I think that's what I thought, though, was valuable about this inquiry. And you get it all in one or a lot of it in one go. And you go, oh, boy, you know, it sort of creates credibility, which I hope gives you at least some solace for the kind of work you've done or Sam does or, you know.
Well, a little bit, you know, like last year, late last year when the House Affairs Committee on China released its report, which had all of this evidence from CSIS. And Ken Hardy, who was the chair of the committee, nice man, he's liberal. You know, he said, well, I guess we should have been listening to Jonathan Manthorpe and Terry Glavin all along. Well, that's very nice of you, Ken. But you know what? It doesn't seem to have really made a difference. And I think part of the difficulty is we've been covering this story under the sort of rubric of foreign interference.
Yes.
Right? Well, is it interference if it is? I mean, interference is something that is unwanted and unhelpful. Yeah. There was nothing unwanted or unhelpful about the participation of the United Front Work Department hierarchy in the Mandarin bloc in this country and the consulates and the embassy. There was nothing unwanted in their engagement with the Liberal Party. It looks a lot more like collusion to me. I know these are terrible things to say. But, you know, somebody's got to explain to me, and no one has explained this yet, how it came to pass that over a 48-hour period in 2016, so we're going back a ways, right after the election, over a 48-hour period, 68%, I think it was, of the Papineau, Trudeau's riding, his war chest, was replenished by all of these donations that just curiously were just below the $1,500 threshold. I mean, that's what happens when you look at, you know, casino gambling. Mm-hmm. When you look at the way Chinese whale gamblers get their money out of China, you know, they'll distribute or buy houses in Shaughnessy. You know, they'll distribute a whole bunch of below the radar donations to various people in Canada who will put it in a single bank account, and then a big lump sum goes to a bank in China, this kind of thing. Somebody rigged that. You know, I think it was like 62 different donations in one 48-hour period minimum. And then you have the prime minister of our country inviting liberal donors to cash for access dinners, one of which, by the way, I think the first was Li Keqiang attended this dinner. I mean, his policy was to integrate Canada's economy and our immigration policy and our foreign policy hip and thigh with the Chinese state-owned enterprises, the Chinese government's foreign policy economy. I mean, it's all there. It's on the record. And I think this is the part of the difficult, you know, people look at this and they just say, some people look at it and they say, what do they have on Trudeau? My goodness. You know, they must have something on him. You know, he wouldn't be doing this sort of thing unless they had some sort of, you know, compromising information on him. People have to wake up and realize that the Trudeau and his circle, Dominic Barton, Peter Harder, Yenpao Wu, Mary Ng, all of the, they don't see anything wrong with this. This is not something to be, it's something to be hidden from the public, because they know that the public is, it finds all of this quite revolting. But they don't see things this way. They have a completely different conception.
Yeah,
this sort of post-national idea of the country. And of course, the immediate question that emerges is, well, how do you do national security in a post-national state? What does that even mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think a lot of this stuff is coming out now sort of on the record in the trove of terribly, utterly, I mean, there's no indexing at all. Mm-hmm. In the archive of submissions to the inquiry. I mean, it would be a really interesting project to hire a summer student to go through everything and properly organize and index the submissions. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. We've got, you know, we have an opportunity now for the United Front Work Department and its senior interlocutor, who's basically recognized as such by Justice Hogue, Yenpao Wu. He's going to be defending them and defending their interests. You know, there's some sort of equity-seeking group now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been an overwhelming task to keep on top of it. That I'm not telling you anything because you've been keeping on top of it. And I appreciate your time here, but there's so many more chapters to go in this story that I hope I can call on you. But in the meantime,
sorry to bang on like this. This should really be more of a conversation, but it's
it is
overwhelming. There's just so much.
Well, but that's why I highly recommend therealstory.substack.com, you know, add Substack, The Real Story, because I find on this and many other subjects, by the way, that are very pertinent these days, but I'm talking about this particular Chinese interference today, but it's absolutely necessary background to keep informed. And this is me saying it. If you care about your country, my goodness, I hope it supersedes any partisan affiliation. If you care about Canada, and certainly interference with our fundamental rights in democracy should be a huge concern. And Terry, you've done yeoman's work, and I'm glad you alluded to Sam Cooper,
He's great.
Jeremy Nuttall, to Stephen Chase, and you know, because it's the best. It's the best of journalism. The best of journalism at a time when journalism isn't held in high esteem, and I think deservedly so in many cases. But in this case, journalists have led the way, and you're certainly leading that charge. And I so sincerely appreciate your work, but also appreciate you finding time for us here.
Anytime, Michael. Anytime.
Great stuff. Great stuff.